Hi, I'm Sharad Kutan, and welcome to Consider This. Just for the purposes of helping everybody or leveling up everybody, could you tell me a little bit about the composition of the committee? Well, who is in the committee? What kind of expertise do they bring to this conversation?
Well, we have roughly 18 people in the committee, six of whom are taken as permanent rep. They are with us all the time. The other nine, the other nine or ten from various sectors, we took them in as a member of the committee, and they attend meetings. They do some research when they are asked to. They are altogether 18 people.
Right, okay. And you, of course, were chairperson of the Election Commission yourself from 2000 to 2008, I believe.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, it must be surprising to many people that when you were named, because for a long time the Election Commission was the object of a lot of criticism. Were you surprised when you were made the chairperson?
I wasn't surprised at all. Because I've been with the Electoral Commission, first as secretary, and of course continued as chairman of the commission. Altogether, I had a stint of about 27 years. So election is part of my life.
Your DNA.
So when I'm asked to, in fact, I asked. The Prime Minister, why I'm selected? He did say clearly. He said, "We want people who know the job."
Right, and knowing the job clearly is something that, and knowing the system is something that you are eminently qualified for. There is this other issue, of course, that for many years people saw the Election Commission as a tool of the government. Now, the fact that you are a member of Bersatu as well, is that something that you're concerned about? That in proposing a new system, that you will be seen as a tool of the current government?
Not so much, as a tool of the current government. But we were talking about free and fair election. And all the time people are harping on that issue, whether our elections are free and fair. And in terms of political parties, whether they had that freedom to be involved in the electoral process, and the playground is level. Right. When in election we always talk about level playground. Right. When it comes to political parties and candidates.
Well, I understand that just last Wednesday you met with the political parties, all the political parties.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that, because it does seem that in today's Malaysia, we require bipartisan support to actually push the country forward.
Yes, we were very happy that they came around when we invited them. They came in droves, and a lot of them expressed their happiness that the government is willing to open up to this kind of to make sure that the problem that are facing the country's electoral democracy is being addressed in a way that probably in coming elections will no longer face the problems that we have been facing before. Now people talk about the electoral body as a tool. It's not exactly that. If I'm allowed to explain, actually Election Commission done excellent job, saying to it that elections are being fairly and properly done, in spite of the fact that our electoral laws are not so backward, it's not sufficient enough to place the electoral body in a position where they can really deliver free and fair election. Yet, for the past 14 general elections, the electoral body has been able to really do their job and make sure that people are given that right, that freedom to choose their government.
Right. I think there's no doubt that, you know, generally the legitimacy of the elections and the electoral results were there. But there were complaints, and I think the last general election in particular, I think the Election Commission suffered quite a bit of damage to their credibility. But let's put that aside. I mean, I want to just look at some of the terms of reference that you and the members of the committee have brought to this discussion. How far-reaching are you allowed to take this reform process, or reform thinking at least?
Yes, we start with having to understand what actually we have to do in strengthening democratic practices in the country. We talk about strengthening democratic practices, and in particular, electoral democracy in the country. So we know very well that we don't have really strong legislation, strong law governing election in this country. We have the Election Act, which has been introduced in when we got independence in 1957, and that act has never been amended as to change law of things. There are a lot of missing components. If you talk about democracy, there are a lot of missing components within the law.
And within the existing system.
Yes.
I understand one of your terms of reference is to bring up the Malaysian electoral system to an international standard, so basically looking at global best practices. Now, is that something that your committee is focused on? I mean, can you actually deliver on this?
Yes, we were asked to do just that. First, of course, we were asked to look into our laws. And then at the same time, we look at laws that are being used by the so-called advanced democracies. And of course, we at the same time, we look at what they do, the best practices that they have been involved. And we have done just that. For the past 1 year, we have been going to several countries, particularly the Commonwealth countries, looking at what exactly they do.
Okay. We'll go
the
take
standard
a
that they right. chief. Yeah.
Okay, we'll take a short break and we'll come back to look at exactly what our colonial heritages did bequeath us and how, in fact, many countries have moved beyond the British system of first past the post. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned to consider this. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Sharad Kutin. My guest, Tan Sri Abdul Rashid Abdul Rahman, is the chairperson of the Electoral Reform Committee, tasked to look at changing our election system to something that conforms to international standards and best practices and will deliver a democratic election system. Now, we ended up with you saying that, you know, you've actually visited some former British Commonwealth countries, and most of us take their parliamentary system as the template and the first past the post system, right? Which very simply means that the person with the largest number of votes in a constituency, even if it's not a majority, takes that seat. And then the composition of the assembly follows from that. Now, there are problems, very well recognized problems. What is it that you think ought to be changed? I mean, do you think, are you thinking of wholesale change at state level, at the federal level, for Sabah and Sarawak? How are you thinking about managing the change of our electoral system?
Yes, we have discussed so much already about the system itself, the first past the post. It served its purpose since it was introduced. But people in the beginning really don't really understand how the mechanism. how the system works. So people just accept at that face value, you know, of the system. We are talking about the other systems that exist. You know, not all Commonwealth countries are using the first past the post anymore.
Right, they've changed, haven't they?
Yes. The two countries that they are retaining, but with a lot of changes in between, Britain and Canada. The rest have changed either to proportional representation system, or what they call mixed system.
Right, a mixed member proportional
mixed
system.
Mixed member proportional system, and partly first past the post, but partly proportional. But of course, we can always look at the both system, and perhaps we apply with some changes to our situation.
Right.
To the country.
I understand, and this came out in a report recently, that the thinking seems to be that at the state level, for the state assemblies, they will you will propose to maintain the first past the post system.
Yeah.
But for the federal assembly, that we will have a mixed proportional system, meaning part of that an individual voter will get two votes, one that will elect a member of parliament that is representative of that constituent, but also from a party list, and that will change things. So what is the thinking behind this new idea or adoption of this new system?
We look at the requirement. How people look at the wakil rakyat, representative. At state level, people still need wakil rakyat. Because wakil rakyat are looked upon as welfare officers. The welfare is actually what is important to the people.
Though the idea is that they're lawmakers, right? Not just welfare officers.
We know they are lawmakers. But they are more involved, you know, their daily routine engagement with people, so much that it has become a culture that, you know, wakil rakyat is the welfare officer. He attends to the requirement of the needs of the people daily, especially when I've been talking about our delivery system. The government that is not reaching, the government system that is not reaching the people. People don't really understand sometimes, and they need this wakil rakyat to bridge that kind of gap, you know, between the government and the people. And wakil rakyat has been doing good jobs as far as the rural, especially the rural folks are concerned. And we thought that we should maintain the system at state level. Because wakil rakyat maintain smaller constituency,
they're more manageable,
smaller area, manageable. But we feel because there is pressure, that people thought that the first past the post system is not really very fair, because there are parties earning less than 50%, getting more than 50% of the seats, and forming the government. You know, there are occasions, you know, the 2013 election, for example, you know, one party got 49%, the other party got 50% over, but the 49% got to form the government and had more seats because of disparities in the way seats are being allocated. But if you allocate seats according to the total number of votes cast, then you will have to allocate seats to the parties that acquire the biggest number of votes.
Right. There's also this problem, though. I mean, it's said often in the literature that with pure proportional representation systems, you have instability because you have fracturing of the political system and the small parties. And in fact, you have a paradox of small parties becoming kingmakers. You see that in Israel, you see that in Italy and many other countries that have that system. What are the primary political values that your committee wants to espouse? Is it stability? Is it fairness and in terms of representation? There are trade-offs. What is more important?
In fact, fairness is the main criteria. What is important here, people should know, that even the smallest party will have a chance of putting in their representative in the Dewan. For example, the parties belonging to the minority group will have representative. Because we will have, well, to set up the rules that, you know, if you achieve certain number of votes, you will get certain seats in the Dewan. At the same time, we can always allocate seats as they do in Australia, in New Zealand, to the natives, to the indigenous people. And we have our Orang Asli here, who should be given some consideration to have their reps.
Right, because Orang Asli have had a senator since independence, right? Mm. Does your reform agenda also include looking at Dewan Negara reform?
No, not Dewan Negara. But we hope to introduce a system where they will be allowed to have some a good number of seats in the Dewan without having to compete with the rest of the people.
Right. Okay, I understand. Okay, we're going to take another short break and we'll be back with Consider This. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Shahad Kutin bin Tan Sri Abdul Rashid Abdul Rahman, who is the chairperson of the Election Reform Committee. Very important committee that's going to help us lead the conversation, at least, in terms of reforms of the electoral system. Very quickly, are you thinking merely of going to Parliament with these proposals when it comes to the time? Or is there going to be, as has happened in many countries, including New Zealand that you mentioned earlier, they've actually gone to the people. It was a referendum that allowed for electoral reform change.
Well, yes, in most of the Commonwealth countries, they do have laws on referendum. Whatever change in the laws or whatever new things are to be introduced in the country, that affects the people generally. They will go down to the people in the form of referendum. But we don't have law on referendum here. And therefore, in exchange for that, we go down to the people in the form of libat urus, what you call it, engagement, public engagement, and we have done that all over the country, and we receive good support.
Right.
From all around.
Okay, I want to ask a little bit about Sabah and Sarawak now, because they are also very specific to the way in which Malaysia operates. I mean, three territories that came together, well, actually four territories that came together in 1963, and then we've left with three now that form Malaysia. And there's a very strong states' rights-based politics happening in Sabah and Sarawak now. Now, any reform that diminishes the representation of Sabah and Sarawak, I can imagine, will meet with stiff opposition from representatives on that side of the country. How do you propose to make the system fair, but also ensure Sabah and Sarawak representation, a fixed representation in the Federal Assembly?
Well, we cannot have different rules for different units. We have got three units in the Federation, Sabah, Sarawak, and Semenanjung Malaysia. When we have the Malaysia Agreement, it has been suggested that there should be equal representation, equal number of seats allocated to each of the units, which means if you have 2-2-2 seats, each unit is to share the 2-2-2, they will be getting around 70 seats each. But in terms of eligibility, you talk about the law, the rules that have been set for delimitation. The first condition is they must have enough voters to in order to earn seats. You know, we divide our seats according to number of voters that are available. That is a common rule. That is what the Constitution provides.
Right, but so this would be the one man, one vote principle, that all constituents should be roughly about the same size. I mean, there is some given. It's given a little too much over time, but that would be the principle, wouldn't
we
it?
We didn't stick so much to that rule, one man, one vote. If we do that, then there will be no seat for the rural people. Not much seat for the rural people. But we still consider one man, one vote principle as a good principle in terms of voting. But then we have problem in allocating more seats than what it has today for Sabah, what they have today for Sabah and Sarawak, because of the number of constituents, number of electors that they have in the country.
Right. We were hoping Sabah and Sarawak are actually overrepresented. Is that will be the argument?
That is.
As Pahang is overrepresented, Selangor is underrepresented.
that is the argument that they have today. But a lot of political decision will have to be made. Now, if the country feels that Sabah and Sarawak should get more to comply with what has been promised under the Malaysia agreement, then I think we should find ways to comply, irrespective of what our rules are set. Rules are set for determining delimitation of constituencies. But as far as we are concerned, we have no mandate to really do something that is different. We have to have a common law for all.
Right. Tan Sri, in the remaining minutes that we have, many people are impatient for change in the new Malaysia. Is it good to rush into a wholesale change of the system? How do you imagine change actually happening in Malaysia in the kind of midterm period? Should we rush? Should we do it very slowly, gradually? What's your thoughts?
It depends on what change people are asking for. You know, I don't think a change in this is something that has been going to be rushed through. Now, we have been waiting for this for a long time now. I've been asking for a change for a long time in our system. What people don't really appreciate is we have been having a legal electoral system. Our laws are so bad that it does not contain really the important elements that should be there in an electoral practice. If you talk about democracy in election, then we should have our electoral laws changed completely without having to think about rushing through or what. This is what is required by the country. We have grown over the years. You know, we are now a democracy that has to be pushed up to the level, to the standard that our developed friends outside had already achieved. And that is what we are trying to achieve here, a standard that is comparable to what they have achieved. And I think it is fair if we introduce that standard in our election.
Right, wonderful. So we look forward to the interim report coming out in December, and then the final report out next year before August, right? That would be the limit of your term, 2 years.
Yes, yes.
Thank you so much, Tan Sri, for being on the show. I've had Tan Sri Abdul Rashid Abdul Rahman, chairperson of the Electoral Reform Committee, with me this evening. That's all we have for you on Consider This. I'm Sharad Kutan, only for Astro One.